This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Philip. It has just gone past 7:47 in the morning. It's Thursday, the 21st of January, excuse me. And of course, I think we have to pay attention to yesterday's Bank Negara's decision to maintain the OPR rate. And to help us is Julia Goh. And, you know, as we know, Bank Negara maintained it at 1.75% following the first Monetary Policy Committee meeting of 2021, with the MPC noting that the current stance of monetary policy was appropriate and accommodative.
That said, given the uncertainty surrounding the pandemic, they noted that the stance of monetary policy going forward will be determined by new data and information and their implications on the overall outlook for inflation and domestic growth. BNM also notes that they expect growth for 2020 to be near the lower end of its earlier forecasted range of between a contraction of 3.5% and growth of 5.5% for 2020. So, why did the central bank maintain rates despite many expecting a cut in response to MCO 2.0?
So, for perspective for this, we speak to Julia Goh, senior economist at UOB Malaysia. Now, like we said, the street initially seems split on this, but Bank Negara has maintained the overnight policy rate at 1.75%. Was this in line with your expectations, especially on the back of MCO 2.0?
Good morning. Yes, market views were split between Bank Negara holding rates and for a 25 basis point cut. But after the government announced the PMI assistance package and the government did also share the assessment that they saw a less severe impact from MCO 2.0, we did feel that there was less pressure for Bank Negara to cut rates yesterday. But having said that, although Bank Negara kept rates on hold for the third straight meeting, I think as you mentioned earlier, we think there is renewed caution, especially on the part where they said that monetary policy going forward will be determined by new data and information. So, in other words, we think that Bank Negara could be in wait and see mode, and rate cuts remains a possibility depending on how the situation pans out.
So, wait and see mode. What will they be seeing? What new data and information is going to trigger a decision?
I think first and foremost would be COVID. I think keeping an eye on the pandemic and the cases, because that will determine whether current MCO is extended and for how long. And that will determine the impact on the economy over the near term. I think another one was also vaccine rollout, because they did mention in the statement that the rollout of vaccines in the coming months will help lift optimism. So if there is a delay in the vaccine rollouts for whatever reason, this obviously could lead to a more subdued recovery. So that's probably something also that needs to be watched. I guess another area really is to watch is the ongoing support and the implementation of the fiscal programs, right? You have had a few fiscal programs, stimulus packages, the budget 2021 and PMI. So in the event that it takes longer to contain the pandemic, the current MCO is lengthened and there will be a need for ongoing fiscal and monetary support to ensure that the recovery is ongoing.
So Julia, do you expect a rate cut at the next MPC then, which I believe is in March?
We have factored in 125 basis point cut under the first quarter. So there is a possibility. I think it's hard to say that it's a complete no, given that there's still a lot of uncertainty. And Bank Negara also mentioned downside risk to the outlook. So I'd say that, the door isn't completely shut.
And Julia, related to this is, if the Bank Negara chooses not to cut rates, do they have any other weapons that they can use from a monetary policy perspective?
I guess, it's more on supporting liquidity. And as we've seen, actually, the amount of liquidity in the domestic system is ample. And yesterday, they also announced that, they are extending the flexibility to allow financial institutions to meet the SRR requirement through holdings of government bonds. So that's a way of also ensuring that the stable domestic liquidity in the domestic system. I think as far as interest rates are concerned, they have already cut 125 basis points last year. So I think the key is that the longer this thing drags on for, and you find that the rate cuts from last year, the effect of it wears off, then there may be a need to resume cutting rates, right? But I think it really depends on how long COVID goes on for, how long the MCO is extended, and probably we'll also need to watch how GDP performs in fourth quarter last year and also coming into first quarter this year, and whether there could be an impact, because on second quarter, we expect second quarter will rebound significantly, the GDP growth, simply because there is a base effect. But if for whatever reason that the recovery is more subdued than expected, then obviously that is something that Bank Negara may consider as well.
Yeah, just building, what is your forecast for GDP? If you're expecting a rebound, what is the range that you're looking at?
We are looking at 5% growth for this year. So we have lowered it, taking into account the effect of MCO 2.0. And, we think that there is a possibility that first quarter GDP may show a small contraction at this juncture, simply because of the effect of MCO 2.0, and that we will not be having that seasonal spending effect as we did in the first quarter of last year.
And the downside risk to that forecast, is it the same, which is like the COVID-19, the vaccination rollout? Are there any other things that we should kind of pay our attention to?
Yes, I think those are the two key ones. Of course, it's also the pace of global recovery, because, these same factors will also affect the pace of global recovery. And so far, I mean, a lot is banking on the US stimulus package. The glimmer of hope or the bright spot that we've seen so far is China's very robust recovery, which hopefully will actually spill over to a rebound in Asia's recovery and also export demand for Malaysia, right? So that's probably the only bright spot that we can see at this point.
So I wanted to get your views on inflation, right? Because it's projected to average higher in 2021 due to high oil prices. But that said, you know, underlying inflation is still expected to remain subdued as there's continued spare capacity in the economy. Is this in line with your expectations for 2021?
Yes, we expect inflation to move back up, from a deflation last year. So we expect inflation to average slightly over 2% this year. We expect come second quarter that it could rise back up simply because of that base effect. But I mean, if you look at the demand situation, I think underlying price pressures are subdued, as what Bank Negara said. I think key to watch will be supply-driven price pressures. For example, oil prices and also food prices or anything related to supply constraints or disruptions. Right. But overall, I'd say the inflation situation is still muted and subdued.
And while we have you on the line, Julia, the government announced, of course, like we mentioned earlier, the $15 billion per mile stimulus package earlier this week. It's gotten a bit of a mixed response from both public and other economists. But in your view, how effective is it in cushioning the blow from MCO 2.0?
I think for per mile, it is, I think you have to remember, it is an assistance package. And I think the key objective, or one of the key objectives we think with PERMAI is to improve on the existing initiatives and to accelerate the implementation of the initiatives. It does not involve new funds. It's worth $15 billion, but to fund it, it's going to, use reallocated funds or money from the budget. And I think there's a good reason for that, because I guess it's in line with being prudent and also to ensure that we can still meet our fiscal deficit targets. So firstly, it's an assistant package. It improves on the existing initiatives. It doesn't involve new funds. So perhaps maybe the response to it could be also because that it's not something new, something big, right? But I think we also have to remember that there are still many ongoing initiatives from all the previous fiscal programs and the budget. And PERMAI simply is just to grease it and improve on it, such as the acceleration, to accelerate the cash handouts, allowing advance payments from the EPF's ICNA program, more wage subsidy support, grants for SMEs, and electricity bill discounts and rebates, and also extended tax relief measures.
Thank you for your time. That was Julia Goh, senior economist at UOB Malaysia, explaining why perhaps Bank Negara kept its overnight policy rate at 1.75%. And I think that has a lot to do with the 15 billion per my stimulus package that was announced earlier this week, giving some short-term relief to those who are impacted by MCO 2.0. Because I think initially when it was rolled out and six states were affected, we saw the headlines that these six states actually account for more than 2/3 of the Malaysian economy. So any lockdown or any form of restriction in terms of movement, of course, will have an impact. But at the same time, this time, MCO 2.0, there are a lot more sectors that are allowed to open. And I think businesses have also pivoted to be functional despite the fact that you're working from home. So a little bit of breathing space. But nonetheless, I think there are still challenges for the Malaysian economy. Of course, our COVID cases are extremely high, 4,000 yesterday. And the vaccine rollout is the other big question, because you do need to achieve a certain level of herd immunity before we can ever consider going back to our pre-pandemic economic activity levels.
I find the Q1 forecast GDP number interesting. She's forecasting a slight negative, I believe. And it is going to be hinged on how much I extend the MCO, because the difference will be whether or not we get exposure to festive uplift. If you extend the MCO longer, you will hit into Chinese New Year, which I suspect will hit spending and consumption spending quite a bit. So the extension of the MCO will be a pretty important barometer in terms of how will the shift in GDP quarter one be, I suspect.
Yeah, the other thing that concerns me is perhaps the pain that some of these industries are feeling. I mean, for example, retail, hospitality, food and beverage, tourism, very impacted by MCO 2.0. Even though, let's say, you can have takeaway, for sure your daily takings are much lower because you don't have any more dine-in restaurants. So will that lead to some companies finally saying enough is enough, because it's close to a whole year, right, where you've had major disruptions and whatever savings you put aside for that rainy day, you have pretty much spent it. And let's face it, for these businesses, cash flow generation is key, is paramount. And if you can't see any way out of this, you might just decide, I want to shut up shop, enough. And that will lead to unemployment numbers, which is going to be very painful for the economy.
Yep. And the debate here is the role of this government in stimulating the economy. So Julia made a very good point that PERMAI wasn't an incremental on top, but meant to grease or fine-tune previous stimulus packages. So it really wasn't meant to be a shapeshifter or move the market substantially, although many link it to the policy decision. But it's really just about fine-tuning and greasing it better. And this is very interesting because based on the BFM poll that we are seeing about whether you're confident about the Malaysian economy in 2021, nearly 36% say it really depends on the government. Of course, nearly half say that it will get worse, but it's a sizable portion that expects the government to intervene, pump in more stimulus to help kickstart the economy. And based on what Julia was saying earlier about the decision on OPR cut, which is going to be in March, and hinged on the cases, which is the new data she's looking at, I suspect many economists are penciling another rate cut as they expect cases to rise.
Yeah, because you do want to keep aside some dry powder if you really see the economy really slowing down. I think that's important. So I think we'll watch the March MPC meeting announcement closely and see whether they do indeed cut it by maybe another 25 basis points. But we're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, and after that we have the Breakfast Grill, where Roshan speaks with the Managing Director of Sime Darby Alls. That's happening in a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.